Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation, taped at the Wilmington Riverfront, focuses on the race for state treasurer, and we're joined by the incumbent Republican, Ken Simpler. Thanks for joining us, Ken.
Tom, thanks for having me.
So we'll start off with the basic question of why you're running for another term as state treasurer.
I'm running for another term because I have seen firsthand after 4 years that while I went into this office with a high degree of confidence that someone who had spent their entire career in finance could improve on the core systems that we use to operate state government, whether it's our revenue systems or our budget systems or our personnel systems or our risk management systems, performance-based management systems, you know, I didn't know for sure. But after 4 years, I've had my chance to roll up my sleeves, work inside the treasurer's office, work with almost all of our other agencies in state government, and see real dividends from being able to take, let's say, a top-down look at how we're operating state government. And the fundamental systems we have, this is not an indictment of our people, the fundamental systems we have are 10, 20, or 40 years old. And if we can fix those systems, then every agency in state government, the things we actually see, education, roads, safety, healthcare, will improve. And so that's what I'm here for.
Tell me a little bit about how you feel like your previous professional experience helped inform what you've done in the first term and will help you kind of continue doing the things you think need to be done if you're elected to a second term.
So sure. So, I mean, there are jobs inside the treasurer's office. There are at least a dozen committees, councils, and boards I sit on. They're all financial in nature. And then there is the general job I have of being, frankly, the highest elected fiscal officer for the state. But collaborating with the Secretary of Finance and the Budget Director in what you would really think of as being the job of the Chief Financial Officer at Delaware. I have played the role of Chief Financial Officer and Asset Manager. And when you look at the Treasurer's operations day to day, the Treasurer really has a share of the whole fiscal picture for Delaware. Part of our business is asset management. We look after the $2 billion of debt. We look after the $2 billion cash portfolio. We look after probably $1.6 billion of third-party monies that are the monies that our teachers and our employees have saved in 401k style plans, $600 million that college savers have saved in our 529 plan. That's all based on asset management. And that's been a function of when I spent a career as a portfolio manager at a large private investment firm with global operations where I personally oversaw people in Tokyo, in London, in New York, Greenwich, Chicago, and San Francisco. These are the types of operations that I spent a career thinking about. How do you manage a balance sheet? How do you protect your, how do you think about in the state's portfolio ensuring that we have adequate access to our cash, that we get the best yield we can and keep it safe? How do we help participants who are saving for their own personal retirement plan, be retirement ready? And how do we manage the balance sheet from the perspective of are we borrowing responsibly and investing for the next generation? That side of the house is what I've done for a career in finance as a portfolio manager. Mm-hmm. I've spent the other half of my finance career as a chief financial officer for a hotel and property management business here in Delaware. In that capacity, I have had to think about the exact same things across. There are multiple state agencies. All of them operate on the same basic platforms. If we can budget well for all of them, it's going to help everybody. If we can design personnel systems that allow us to attract and retain and develop people, that's going to benefit every state agency. If we have good ways of measuring performance management, are we executing good strategic planning? Are we allocating resources towards our priorities? And are we measuring whether we're getting better? That same experience was relevant in my prior career as a CFO because we had different operating units. We had different plants and facilities. Everyone wants to report their numbers in a different way. Everyone wants to budget differently. Everyone wants to. Some level of customization is appropriate. But if you're looking at an organization that's of the scale of the state of Delaware, 33,000 some employees, a $10 billion that we spend and take in every year. That's more than $10,000 for a man, woman, child in the state. At an organization of that level, we should have enterprise solutions that help us get better at everything we do. We shouldn't have agencies that succeed in spite of our systems. We should have agencies whose mission is facilitated by knowing that they have certain amounts of resources that are coming to them, being disciplined about how they plan strategically, having ways of measuring that let them know whether they're improving or not the core operations that they've set are their priorities. That kind of stuff, by and large, hasn't received attention in state government in a long time. We have a budgeting system that's 40 years old. We tried to fix it this last year with the General Assembly. They declined to take it up formally, but the governor issued an executive order, so we made some progress. Personnel systems across the board, I will tell you that people who manage in state government are handicapped in terms of developing their people the way they would like to because of well-meaning rules. But when personnel costs are half of the spend of our organization, and we don't have the best means of incentivizing our people, of rewarding our people, of investing in our people and developing them, how are we going to get better at anything we do? So these are the kinds of things that don't fit on a bumper sticker. But if you're the state treasurer and the highest elected fiscal officer, these are the kinds of things you think about because you look for points of leverage in the organization. If all $10 billion of our spend flows through the state agencies, and we can increase the productivity of state agencies by 1% or 2% or 3%, because we invest in thoughtful budgeting and revenue and performance systems and risk management systems, that is enormous value to shareholders. There's enormous value to Delaware citizens. But you can see how I think about it with a corporate mindset.
Well, and kind of building on that, in previous races, we've seen some candidates emphasize this office as being an economic watchdog, others focusing more on the financial management part of it. How do you view the role of the treasurer and maybe the balance between those two trains of thought?
Yeah. So I think you can look at the treasurer, and the way I look at the job is really having three hats. I've spoken to you mostly about changes that I can make inside the treasurer's office, the day-to-day operations that permeate out and affect all state agencies. But I also sit on a dozen different councils, committees, and task forces. I am asked to engage as a member of task forces that preserve agricultural farmlands, which for Delaware's agriculture industry is critical. I sit on a committee that tries to help volunteer fire companies, of which we have roughly 60, think critically about capital spending, because they're a people business, but they're very capital intensive as well, that equipment and the buildings they have. I sit on the State Employee Benefits Committee, where the big focus is healthcare policy. So it's not as if I am administering the agencies that oversee that, agriculture or the Department of Human Resources or Office of Management and Budget. But I can bring the same principles to bear to say, hey, what are the key exercises? What are our goals? What are the resources we're willing to put behind those? How do we measure whether we're getting better? Is there another way of thinking about accomplishing our mission? You know, just to go back to one or two of the examples, since I know time is tight, but when I looked at what we can do with agricultural lands, our revenues go up and down every year because we tie it to the real estate transfer tax, which is a very volatile tax. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, the real estate transfer tax generates the most money when land prices are the highest. So why would we want to structure the business model where we're trying to preserve land by paying the most for it? You know, wouldn't it be better if we had maybe a legacy trust where we put money in over time and we could take out interest or dividend income over time and buy when it was opportunistic to buy, keep the program running? You know, we're going to discuss things like that. You know, same thing for the firefighters. We have a revolving loan fund, but the amount we're able to save companies on their capital expenditures are because we let them borrow it at rates that are below market. But the amount we can save versus thinking about a different system, maybe what if we tried to think critically about how about if we compared our capital purchasing across all 60 companies and we opportunistically took advantage of the fact that we're going to go and everyone wants their own equipment. This mm-hmm. is not about not having autonomy at the local level. I don't want to get the firemen all freaked out that I'm saying we want, but a shared database, the power to purchase collectively, you know. There are other ways of thinking about how we accomplish our goals. Are we using the best means to get to where we want to be? That's some of the state treasurer's office and the way I see my capacity is just helping other organizations, agencies, and boards think about their own planning and their own opportunity. And then there's the opportunity writ large as the state treasurer that just like I'm sitting down with you here today, this is an enormous organization. It is self-governed. The people of Delaware, I can't explain anything in robust detail to them about almost anything, but can I give them some big picture ideas of how we're trying to think about the management of our state and our state government and how they can think about the way they can use information when they go into the ballot box in November? You know, I talk repeatedly with ordinary people up and down the state about what I think in finance are consensus issues. Does anyone in Delaware, regardless of your political affiliation, want to see the state run its affairs in a chaotic fashion or a more orderly fashion? Most people choose order. Do you want to know that your state government, regardless of how big or small you might think it is, some people want more government, some people want less. Does anyone dispute the idea that we should be accountable to you, that we're getting the best for what we do have? No. Again, a consensus issue. And frankly, given the period we've been through, most everyone that asks me, hey, Ken, how are we doing, really ultimately just wants to know that we're on a sustainable path. It's one thing to quarrel about whether it's too much or too little, but it's another thing to say that whatever path we've chosen, the bus is not going to end up off the road. We're going to keep all four wheels on the road. So just being able to convey to Delaware citizens how we're striving towards greater certainty and higher value and more sustainability in everything we do. That's another part of what I think about my job.
Well, building on that, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, and that is during your first term, you've been a strong advocate for budget smoothing that would basically force the government to limit spending in good years, save the extra revenue for tight years. As you mentioned, lawmakers shelved the constitutional amendment to create a process to do that more formally last session, but Governor Carney signed an executive order to move portions of that forward. So my question to you is, should lawmakers revisit that constitutional amendment, look at establishing, or should say eliminating the rainy day fund and creating the budget stabilization fund? And you can elaborate a little bit more on why that would be important.
Yeah, so I think the reason this really came about and the reason that what we've come to call budget smoothing or budget stabilization, I would say there are two things that ordinary Delawareans should absolutely understand about what we're trying to do. Every year we balance the budget. That's what the Constitution requires to do it. But if we balance the budget and revenues are up, 10%, we spend 10% more. If we balance the budget and revenues are down 10%, we're supposed to spend 10% less. That is a very chaotic process, and it has real implications to real Delawareans. We cannot run the largest programs in the state in terms of safety and infrastructure and healthcare and education with following a test that says we're up and down 10% each year. And I don't make those numbers up because that's reality. The last 2 years, 2 years ago, we were down 10%. This last year, we were up 10%. That is no way to run a 33,000-person organization that spends $10 billion. Delawareans saw firsthand that when we don't run our affairs in a predictable and on a path that is smoother, nonprofits get their budgets cut. Realtors end up with taxes they didn't expect. State agencies are asked to cut budgets in ways they didn't anticipate that have real impact on our capacity to serve the public. There is no reason why we would have a test that says every year you spend exactly what you find in favor of a test that says let's pick a long-term path that is sustainable, and if the revenues come in higher, we'll save them, and if they come in lower, we'll be able to draw from that fund. So one point is just about stability and our ability to provide quality services and not leave critical services in the lurch or critical service providers or nonprofits in the lurch. The second big thing is year to year, it's bad enough. But what happens to us every 6 to 8 years? We have an economic recession. That's on average what economic recessions run. When we don't put away any money for a major downturn, we end up in real crises. And those real crises that, as we saw in the Great Recession, can be very severe, but in any case, they produce real hardships for real Delawareans. What is the excuse we have running this giant organization not to have a fund in place that, based on the calculations of looking at 40 years of data, and a little bit more than that actually, would allow us to sustain our spending through a recession and not raise taxes during a recession? The way we approach these cycles now is that's what we do both. So in the height of a recession, when business is suffering, when real people in Delaware need critical services, what does the state of Delaware do to balance its budget? We cut services and we raise taxes, both of which have been demonstrated in studies to both prolong recessions and make them deeper. You want the state in those situations to be acting as a counterbalance to the economy. You want the state to be able to remain the stable partner to allow business to get back on its feet and to allow people that have higher service demands to have their needs met. That's what a stabilization fund would allow us to do. So it's the annual inability to plan and be consistent in what we deliver, and it's the once periodically that we know we're going to experience deep recession that we should be more responsible about having a long-term view around.
Having said all that, are there some other issues you feel the treasurer can or should take a significant role in advocating for? I know you've talked about some of them a little bit earlier, but are there some ones that in your mind you feel a treasurer should be focused on advocating for?
Yeah, so in the first 4 years, we took two major priorities in the office. One was we rebuilt the retirement platform for state teachers and state employees, and we reset the strategic framework for the college plans. Those were both multi-year efforts that have resulted in lower fees, better product offerings, and frankly, more participation in the plans. So we're helping people, individuals, save more of their own money in those situations, whether for retirement or for college. I think it's very important that we empower people to affect their own savings. And ultimately, that has implications for us as taxpayers because, you know, if people can take care of themselves responsibly, it means less burden on us as other citizens. The same thing was true. We took 2.5 years to reset the guidelines and the platforms that we use to invest the state's money. So the Cash Management Policy Board had been in a terrible position with my predecessor. They didn't see eye to eye. It took a long time to rectify that, but we just put in place over 2.5 years a new set of guidelines, a new set of investment managers. The consultant for the board, not my consultants, estimates that this will likely produce as much as $20 million more per annum for the state's investment portfolio in a normalized environment. We've already seen it in just the DFAC numbers we just published. If you look back at what we've done the last several years, what we earned just in this last year is almost 2.5 times what we have, you know, done in the last couple. And even since the Great Recession, it's almost double the average. And it's going to go up this coming year. The two major initiatives I could see that would parallel those reforms in another 4 years are one, just like we talked about the idea of how we get our revenues and our expenditures to sort of be sustainable over the long term. You know, we're talking about our operating budget. There is a similar way we could think about our capital budget. Mm-hmm. Our capital budget goes through the same cycle of up and down. We're allowed to borrow the same percentage of revenues every year, 5%. So as revenues go up and down, the amount we borrow to do capital projects goes up and down. But we also usually, in good years, are able to commit more cash. Actually, part of our operating budget is used to fund capital projects. Mm-hmm. When the operating budget goes bad, the cash to the bonds or cash to the capital budget goes to zero. We saw that. We saw zero to the cash. And so there is another, I think, effectively new construct that we could put in place that tells us what's a sustainable long-term level of borrowing and how do we get to a world where instead of having our capital projects swing up and down every year, how are we disciplined over the long term? We do not want to use deficits in the operating budget to underinvest for the next generation. That is not good to, that's not the right thing to do for our kids, and it's not the right thing to do for future Delawareans, but that's what we do today. We make up shortfalls in the operating budget by underinvesting in the long term. So I think there is something to be said for both working on the operating budget and then in parallel working on the capital budget. And so I would love to dig into that as part of my second term. And then the other big thing is we have spent almost a year studying the entirety of the state in terms of its ability to just simply transact business. So one role the treasurer plays that the treasurer is responsible for is everything we do in state government, we collect and receive money. All agencies, across all departments, everything. The state treasurer's office in 25 years has never undertaken a comprehensive study of all the banking and transaction services we've been allowed that have accumulated over that time period. More than a dozen different vendors, different agencies using different vendors, different agencies, you know, having different personnel in terms of their level of understanding of what is possible to make their own operations run more smoothly. We think state agencies can save a ton of manpower if we are able to take an enterprise sort of approach to this. If we are able to face our agencies as a partner and say, here's the range of things that modern financial services would allow you to do. Here's what you're doing today. This is what could be freed up in terms of your personnel time, whether it's automation, whether it's the third party doing it for you. We think we can save significant out-of-pocket costs by consolidating and updating the entire architecture of how state of Delaware just simply transacts business. That is going to be every bit of all 4 years of a second term. Those would be the big ideas.
And finally, and we've talked a little bit about this already, but I'm sure many people don't completely understand the state treasurer's role in managing and investing the state's cash portfolio. So how would you explain it to the average voter and why it's important to them?
I think the way people think about this in their personal lives that they understand is My job is not to decide how much we spend or how much we take in. That's the General Assembly and the governor. Within any level of spending and taxation, my job is to ensure that we stretch every dollar as far as we can possibly stretch it, that we get the maximum value out of whatever it is we decide to levy on our people and we return a high level of services for it. I think it's also my job to ensure that we think about the rainy day, that we plan ahead, that we don't, the whole organization of state government, the General Assembly and the governor, are caught up all the time in a one-year-to-one-year process. Who is looking out over the horizon? Who is thinking about not just this budget year, but how we put in place the practices, the rules, the laws, that are going to ensure that we meet long-term needs, not just today's needs? So stretch every dollar, make sure we're investing for the future, and ultimately guarantee people that whether you like it or not, whatever it is we're doing, we're going to do an excellent job of it. We're going to be able to show you in an accountable way that we are making the most of our collective resources. That's how I would explain to just, you know, the layperson who's thinking of this, just without getting into the weeds of what the treasurer does.
Fair enough. Ken Simple, a Republican candidate for state treasurer, we thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tom.
You can find all of our candidate conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. This candidate conversation was taped at the Simpler campaign headquarters on the Wilmington Riverfront and is part of Delaware Debates 2018, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. Thanks for listening.